Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for how you have helped us. Thank you for answers we have received to our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. Your mighty hand has worked in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence in our spirit, souls, and bodies. Thank you for your power that is working in us to make us the kind of person you want us to be. Thank you for your power that is destroying our weaknesses. Thank you for your power that is changing us into the same nature that is in you. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for revelations of your word that has delivered us from darkness. Thank you for the truths of your word that has kept us in the light. Thank you, Father. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for teaching us and speaking to us through everything in our lives and situations. Thank you for guiding us through the paths of righteousness. Thank you for showing us your ways so that we can always be faithful and holy and pure and righteous in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for these classes we have been having, Bible study classes. We thank you for how you have been pouring out your mind to us every time we come together on this platform. We thank you for what you are going to show us today, for it will change our lives and it will edify us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Have your way in our minds. Have your way in our hearts. Reveal to us all that will make us grow matured in Christ. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I believe that He will speak to you in the best way you understand during the course of the teaching. Amen. If you can remember that we started a new topic last week, and I called the title of the topic, or the title of the teaching, The Need for Believers' Fellowship. Yeah, and we started with the first point, which says the Bible instructs us to fellowship. And then point A, under that first point, says the importance of fellowship. So I want us to look at the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John. Chapter 1, verse 7. I read, it says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if we walk in the light. Now, let me read verse 6, the verse prior to this one. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, meaning that if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And then verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So what that is saying is that if we walk in the light and not in darkness, which all of you know what it means to walk in the light and what it also means to walk in darkness. Yeah, I don't think I need to talk about that. Yeah, you know, when you are living in sin, you're committing sin, it means you're walking in darkness. When you are not obedient to the word of God, you are practicing things that are contradicting the word of God, then you should know you are not in light, you are in darkness. Yeah, when you are in the flesh, you live according to the control of your flesh and not according to the control of the Holy Spirit. I mean, according to the control of your desires, your carnal desires, your selfish desires. If you live according to that, you are in darkness. Yeah, so I believe you know what it means to be in the light or to walk in the light, and then what it means to walk in darkness. So I'm not going into that. But my point is that if you walk in the light, according to verse 7 of that chapter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So what does that mean? It means if we walk in the light, we will automatically want to fellowship with one another. Yeah, unlike some people, they feel like, I know God personally. I can hear from God. I can pray in my room. I can talk to God. I can study the Bible by myself. Yeah, so they feel like there's no need going to church. There's no need joining prayer sessions, joining prayer meetings, joining Bible study classes. So they feel like they can pray on their own, talk to God on their own, study the scriptures on their own, learn from God on their own, learn new things from God on their own. And they feel like there's no need for them to have fellowship with other believers. According to this verse I have just read, if they feel like that, it means they are walking in darkness. It means they are not walking in the light. Yeah, if you look at that verse, it says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So it's kind of an automatic thing that happens to you. Like, it just happens to you. If you are in right standing with God, you just want to fellowship with others. That desire will just be in you. That drive will just be in you to fellowship with other believers. Yeah, it is natural. It is natural to those that are walking in the light. Yeah, so if there's a spirit in you that is against fellowship, yeah, then you need to check if you are in right standing with God. Because being in right standing with God automatically makes you want to fellowship with other believers. Yeah, it automatically puts that desire and passion and drive in your heart. Yeah, so those people who no longer see reasons for fellowshipping with other believers, they need prayers, because whatever the reasons they have to ignore fellowship, that reason is demonic. So they need prayers. I tell you the truth, they need prayers that God should deliver them, because there is no reasonable reason. Yeah, to think that we don't need to fellowship with one another. Any reason that those people have is demonic. And that is a sign that they need deliverance. And we should pray for those people. Yeah, let me read the same verse from New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other." Yeah, so it doesn't mean whether I'm seeing you physically or not. Yeah, it doesn't mean whether your tribe is different from my tribe. It doesn't mean whether the color of your skin is different from the color of my skin. As long as you are a believer, we are in fellowship with one another. It doesn't matter which country you are. Yeah, as long as we are believers, we are in fellowship with one another. It doesn't matter if we have met before. It doesn't matter if we have talked before. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you have heard of me before or if I have heard of you before. As long as we are believers in Christ, we are together. Yeah. Because in the realm of the spirit, we are already together. I think I have said it before during one of the teachings. Yeah. I said that, yeah, if I can remember, I said I was talking with the Lord, and I was asking God, to unite the church. I was asking God about, yeah, I was asking God to unite the church, that the church of God is divided, Christians are divided against themselves, and that God should unite the church. Yeah, and God was telling me that the church is not divided. He was telling me that in heaven they don't see the church as divided, that in heaven the church is one, irrespective of whether it's an African church or is an European church or is an American church, or whether it's, the name of the churches are not the same, is is a, whether is denomination, I mean, whether there are denominations. God said, despite all the differences we are seeing at this time on earth, he said his church is one, that there's never been a time his church is divided. Yeah, so I was not like, if in heaven the church of God is one and is not divided, then what is wrong with us here? Why is that on earth churches are not in fellowship with the same thing, or churches are not in agreement with the same thing? Why is it that we don't believe the same way? Why is it that we don't love each other? Why is it that we fight each other? We attack each other? We bring down each other? We destroy each other. So why is it that, you know, why is it that these things are happening among among Christians unheard? Why is it that we envy each other, we compete with each other? Yeah, and the Lord, you know, told me that it's because we are in the flesh, we are in darkness. It's because we are not in the light. So he said the moment we are in the spirit, that we will know that we are not divided. Yeah, that was the way the Lord responded to me that time. He said, the moment everyone overcome the flesh, overcome darkness, and everyone is perfected in the spirit, in the nature of Christ, we will automatically know that the church is one and the church has never been divided, and that there has never been a time the church has been divided. So which this scripture we just read confirms that revelation I got that time. I mean, I got at that time. It says, I'm reading that verse again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. I don't know if you get that point. He said, if we are in the light, if you are living in the spirit, you are living in the truth, you are living in love, if you are living in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. So he did not say, then we can have fellowship with each other. That's not what he said. He says, then we have fellowship with each other. So that is how strong the bond that binds us together is. And Christ is that bond. That is how strong it is. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your tribe. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter the language you speak. As long as we are believers, we are one. So it doesn't matter whether we are far from each other. It doesn't matter whether we have seen each other or not. As long as we are believers in Christ, we are one. So we are not trying to be one. We are already one. So when we have fellowship together, we are not trying to be one. We are not trying to be united. We are already united. We are just confirming that we are united. I don't know if you get the point. So the unity in the body of Christ is not what we are trying to attain. It's what we have already attained in Christ. Is what we have already become one in Christ. So we are just trying to confirm it in the physical realm. It has already been established in the realm of the spirit, and it will remain like that forever. Yeah, but we are just trying to confirm it in the physical realm by coming together to fellowship. I don't know if you get the point. We are just trying to enforce it in the realm of the physical by having fellowship with one another, because we are already one in Christ. Yeah, and that is the truth, whether you agree or not. Yeah, we are already one in Christ. So anything we hold to that is just to confirm it, to affirm it in physical realm that we are one. And that is why there is that craving to be with one another, to fellowship with one another, because we have already been bonded together as one in Christ. Yeah. As the teaching goes on, I will go give you more understanding. But let it be registered in your heart that if you hate another Christian, you hate another believer, you are envious of another believer, you are not after the unity of Christians, then it is you that will lose. Yeah, it will not stop church from being united. It will only cut you off from that, from the kingdom. Yeah, let it be in your heart that no one can dissolve the unity that is in the church. No one. Anyone that tries it, that person will just lose his or her own place in the church. Yeah. So whether anyone agrees or not, the church is united, and the church will forever remain united. Only that some people would not want to continue in the light. So anyone that will not continue in the light, they'll be cut off. But many that are in the light, they are united. Yeah, they are united. That is the truth. As many of us that are in the light, we are united. And this is a spiritual bond. Yeah, it's a spiritual bond. And is not determined by any physical thing. It's not determined by whether we have seen each other. It's not determined by whether we know each other. That is why many times I find myself praying for people I don't even know. The Holy Spirit show me names of people, issues happening to people, people that I don't even know, people I've not even heard about. I've not seen their faces before. And I find myself praying for a lot of people. So that tells you that there's a spiritual bond that happens the moment you give your life to Christ. So you become supernaturally and spiritually bonded with every other believers worldwide. Yeah, let's continue. Now, another point under the first point number one, which is the Bible instructs us to fellowship. Another point is, which is B, point B, or you can say 1B. Another point is, we are one body in Jesus. We are one body in Jesus. Now let's look at the book of Romans 12, verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Romans 12, verse 5. I read, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one of an of okay, everyone members one of another." Let me read it again. It says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Do you know what that means? It means that we are connected with one another. Yeah, because we are created with one another. So it's just like saying the liver in your body, and then the kidney in your body, and then the bones, the muscles in your body. Yeah, because they were all created together. When you were forming your mother's womb, all of these organs, they were forming together. And there is something that binds all of it together. All of them, they send messages to one another. Your brain send messages to your eyes. Your eyes send messages to your brain. Your brain send messages to your legs. Your legs send messages to your brain. So everyone was created together. I mean, every of the organs in your body, They were created together. So that is why they are all connected together. And you cannot separate one from another. It is impossible. Yeah. They can't work against each other because they are part of each other. So, and that is the same with the church. We can't work against each other because we are part of each other. Now, there was a time that the Lord was showing me how the ministries of believers are connected together. He was showing me how the callings are connected together, how our spiritual gifts are connected together. Yeah. And he was telling me something like this. Yeah, he was saying that if a church is praying for revival, for instance, so let's say there is a branch, or maybe I should use the denomination, there is a church with a special name somewhere, maybe in Cameroon, and that church is praying for revival. Yeah, now God can answer the prayer of that church in another church that is in Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire, yeah, or in another church in Zambia or Zimbabwe. Prayer that is just in praying, God will release the answer of that church. He will release the answer in Côte d'Ivoire or Zambia or Zimbabwe. Now, let's go. Yeah, it was saying that, let's say, the church Cameroon is praying for a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, where there will be people being healed, blind eyes opening, the lame people walking, dead rising back to life, and all sorts of mighty miracles. So it was showing me that if the church Cameroon is praying for that kind of revival, God can go to the church in Zambia and anoint a person there with all the powers and authority to the authority to answer the prayer of the church. So the church in Cameroon will have to invite that person that is in Zambia to come and minister to Mr. the grace that God puts on him to them. I don't know if you're getting my point. Let me recap again. Let me take over again. I'm saying the answer to a particular church in a country will be released to another church in another country. If the church in a country are praying for revival and they are praying that God raise men, like bring people in this country from darkness, and they're saying, God, please send a revival that will bring healing to the sick, that will bring a deliverance to the oppressed, that will bring restoration to those who, you know, to those who have been attacked by enemy. Go to a country and that person the people are asking for. Yeah, we go to upon for the anointing and the power that we answer the prayer the church in another country are praying for or asking God for. Yeah, do you get that? So until the church stands together, we're forever limited in all the blessings of God. Yeah, until we stop seeing ourselves as divided, like some pastors do, feel like I have the grace, so I was my voice is breaking a little bit. All right. I've switched to another network. I hope you can hear me very well now. Yeah, so well, what I was saying is that until the church begins to work together, until we stop seeing ourselves as divided, we will not partake of the fullness of the blessings of God for us, especially here on earth. We will not receive of the fullness of the blessings of God and His kingdom for us. Yeah. So, which means that the fullness of the glory of God that will be revealed in the head is connected to the unity of the church. If you want the glory of God to be revealed in its fullness here on earth among Christians, then Christians must unite together. It's not a matter of should or may. It's a matter of must. If we want to see the fullness of the manifestation of God's glory in the head, we must stop seeing each other as divided or as not part of each other. Yeah, that is it. Yeah, because there are problems in let me talk this way. Let's say you're a member of a church now. There are problems in your church that God has not anointed your pastor to solve. No matter how anointed your pastor is, there's some problems in your church that God has not anointed your pastor to solve that problem. The person that will solve that problem is probably in another church or in another country far from where you are. Yeah. And if you don't open your heart to receive from the ministry of the person that has the anointing that will solve your problem, that problem will remain there. Yeah, that is the fact. So that is why we must work together. I mean, we must believe in each other. We must agree with one another. We must embrace each other's vision. We must support each other's callings. Yeah, we must do all these things if we want to be perfect in the grace of God. Yeah, that is the truth. Then another thing I'm going to say also is this. I want to talk about this competitive spirit that is controlling many people in the church, controlling many ministers, and even many Christians. Yeah, this competitive spirit of wanting to outshine another, wanting to be more relevant than another, wanting to be more famous than another. Yeah, that spirit is of the devil. That spirit is an enemy of revival. That spirit is an enemy of God's visitation. That spirit is highly deadly. So we must not embrace that spirit. Now, some time ago, I was leading a prayer session. I think it was an intercessory prayer session. And during the course of the prayer session, I was saying that the church is so naturally united in heaven, yeah, to the point that if one fails, all has failed. Yeah, and I was citing an example that if I, as a minister, if I fail in my ministry, yeah, it means every other minister has also failed. Whether they are aware of me or not. Yeah, I don't know if you get the point. If I, as a minister, failed in my ministry, it means I have failed my generation. And it means every other people in the body of Christ, who also have ministries or callings, it means they also are failed. Whether they know or not, whether they agree or not, yeah, this is showing how we are so connected, and now we are so united. Just that, I mean, such that if you have a wound in the toe, in the toes of your leg, you know, just the way your entire body feels the pain when there is a wound in the toes of your leg, or one of the toes is wounded, just, you know, the same way your entire body feels the pain, is the same way with the church. It is the same way with the body of Christ. So if one member fails, all has failed. If one member is wounded, all is in pain. Yeah, and that is why God has set a timeline for the church, you know, such that there are functions that must be fulfilled before the end of the world will come. So what I'm saying is that there are some functions that the church must fulfill before the end will come. Yeah, and God wants the church to have fulfilled this, you know, that assignment. Yeah, because that is, until those assignments are fulfilled, the church will not be perfect in the sight of God. And that is why when God releases a grace, he doesn't take it back until that grace has achieved the purpose by which it is given. For instance, if God puts upon a man of God, for instance, the grace to work miracles, if that man of God fails, God is not going to withdraw the grace. The man of God might probably die along the line. He might die young because the enemy might succeed over his life. But that grace to work miracles will still remain in the head. So God will be waiting for another person that can be trusted with that grace, and he will put that grace on that person. Yeah. So what I'm saying, in essence, is that the church is so is so connected, and the church is so united that God already set an assignment for each member. Yeah, and those assignments must be fulfilled. So if somebody in the church fails, that doesn't mean God will forget about the assignment. He will use someone else to replace it. So it's more or less like, let me start an example. Let's say, let's say the doctor checked a patient, and then they said, your kidney has failed. And they call that kind of disease, they call it kidney failure. And doctors say your kidney has failed, so you need a new kidney. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting my point. So let's say a member in the church, you know, the church is like a body, like a human body in the realm of the spirit. So let's say a member in the church who has been given an assignment, just like the kidney is inside the body with a function. The kidney is inside the body to do a particular function. So let's say there's a member in the church who has received an assignment from God to do, and then along the line that member failed. That doesn't mean the assignment for that member has failed. I don't know if I'm getting the point. The member can fail God, but the assignment must continue. So and that is why there is a room for replacement in the kingdom of God, yeah, especially in the church, in the business of God for the church, there is room for replacement. Yeah, because God has set certain functions to be done by the church in the head. And these functions must be done perfectly before God will put an end to the world. So God has a way of replacing members that are failed. Yeah, so now, let me also say this. There was a time I was praying, and you know, and God was telling me that he said if the people I have called many years ago, if they fulfilled their calling as they should, he said you wouldn't have been born at all. He said there won't be any reason for me to exist. If the people he had called some years back, maybe some 500 years ago, I don't know. So he said if those people have fulfilled the assignment he gave them, he said people like me wouldn't have been born into the world at all. Why? Because there won't be any reason for me to be born, meaning that the end would have come. Jesus would have come. Yeah, the end would have come. So I wouldn't need to be born. Yeah, because if those people have done the assignment well, there won't be any need for further assignment. Yeah, because in the timeline of God, all the functions he needed would have been completed. All the assignments he needed would have been completed, and then the end would have come. So the reason why some people are still being born today is because some people failed in the assignments God gave them to do. Some people failed in the purpose God created them to accomplish. Yeah. I don't know if you're understanding me, or maybe I'm speaking mysteries. Yeah, but there's no mystery in what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the fact. So my point is that the body of Christ is so united, and everyone in the body have been given a specific function from God, specific assignment to function in. Yeah, and everyone must fulfill those assignments. Failure to fulfill it means you'll be replaced. Yeah, and you might be replaced in your lifetime, and you might be replaced maybe after you have left this earth. Yeah. So and another thing I want to bring out of this is that we cannot fulfill those functions until we work together. Yeah, we cannot fulfill the assignment God has called us to fulfill until we begin to work together, until we begin to agree with one another, because we were created together. Yeah, if you search the scriptures, especially the letter where he will say that God has created us, he has known us, he has ordained us before the foundations of the world were laid. So meaning that the church has existed in the spirit realm Even before God created the world, and even before Adam and Eve were created, the church has existed in the realm of the spirit. So, which means that we must function together to be glorified together. We must function together to succeed together, because we must succeed together. We can't succeed separately. Yeah, so as I said earlier, that I was saying in the prayer session, in the prayer session of intercessors, I was saying that if a man of God fail in his ministry, it means that every other man of God has failed, whether they are aware of the man of God who failed or not. Yeah, so it means that the work of others will not succeed also. Yeah, these things I'm saying could look like mysteries, but it is the truth. Meaning that if my own assignment that I've received from God does not succeed, the assignments of other brethren will also not succeed, whether they are aware of me or not. Because my own assignment is divinely ordained to complement their own assignments, whether they know or not, whether they agree or not. What God has called me to do is to complement what He has also called others to do. And what God has called others to do is to complement what He has called me to do. So if any one of us fail, then we can't succeed. Then none of us will succeed. But what I'm saying here now might look strange to some of you, like, what do you mean? But that is the truth in the kingdom of God. That's the truth in the kingdom of God. So which means that we can only succeed together. We can't succeed separately. Yeah, we can succeed separately. So, and which means we must agree together. Now, what I'm saying here, I mean, what I'm saying now might not make sense to you, but some believers who died and went to heaven, they saw in heaven the reality of what I'm saying now. They saw how their works is useless if other brethren does not succeed in their own assignments. Yeah, they saw that others must succeed in their own assignments before their own assignment can also succeed. So that shows how God has created us together, joined us together. Just as if your eyes, for instance, can't function well again, it's going to affect every other part of your body. It's going to affect how the other parts of your body are meant to function and succeed. Yeah. So that is just the truth. Yeah. That is just the truth. Let me read a place for you in the scriptures that confirms what I'm saying. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. It says, God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, if you begin to read from the first verse of this chapter, you will see how the writer mentioned about great men of faith. He mentioned about Noah, mentioned about Abraham, mentioned about people who through faith subdue kingdoms. He mentioned about people who brought dead back to life through faith. He mentioned about Joseph,
mentioned about Moses. Yeah. And then he mentioned about all these great people of old. And then he said that all these people, they can't be perfect without us. Without us in the New Testament. So from the Old Testament, God has wired everyone together. Yeah. So he said, they can't be made perfect without us. So meaning that what they stood for during their lifetime, they could not see, they could not see even 2% of the glory of what they stood for. Yeah. But God decided to launch us in the New Testament into the fullness of the glory they could not see, though they believed so much for that glory, but they could not see it. And God reserved that glory for us in the New Testament. So even the same way, people like Apostle Paul, people like Peter, people like James, all the apostles in the scripture, even the same way, they also did mighty things in their time. How do I speak the English? The same way the people of the Old Testament could not be perfected without the people of the New Testament, in the same way the apostles of old will not be perfected if we in this generation fail God. I don't know if you get the point. So if we fail God, even all the things that people like Peter did, Paul, the apostle did, Apostle John, and all the great men of God that have died before us, if we fail God in this generation, all their efforts will remain useless. Most of their efforts, maybe I should not use the word all their efforts, most of their efforts will be useless. Yeah. And the same thing with our generation. If we don't do well in this time, it's going to affect the future generations that are coming. Yeah. So that is how God has connected every one of us together. From the past till now and to the future. Yeah, he has connected everyone together, connected our assignments together, our callings together. So, and that is why we must work together, because we must succeed together. We must work together because we must succeed together. Yeah. So let us hate the spirit of competition. Let us hate that spirit. Let us hate that spirit. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now let us look at another point. Point C, or you can call it 1C. It says there is strength in united fellowship. There is strength in united fellowship. And I said some things about these during the last teaching. Yeah, that the corporate anointing that has been manifested when we have fellowship with one another is very powerful and very dangerous. It can do anything in the earth. It can do practically anything. If Christians agree together in prayer and we want somebody who is an enemy of the gospel, we want that person to die, like right now. Maybe there is a president, or there is a king, or there's a demonic leader that is against the gospel of Christ. in a country, if all the Christians in that country agree together to pray that God should fight that pap, that person or that human principality. I tell you, before the end of the day, let's say Christians began to pray that prayer in unity, let's say thousands of Christians began to pray that kind of prayer in unity from morning hours, before the evening of that day, that person will die or something will happen. Yeah, to tell you that the more our numbers in unity, the more terrible things that will happen through our prayers on earth. I said that during the last teaching. Yeah, so there is strength in united fellowship. And another reason why there is strength is because that is how the kingdom of God is designed. Naturally, the kingdom of God is designed to function together. If you happen to be translated into heaven right now, as we are talking, you will discover that in heaven, everything is connected together. From the ground, the people are walking on. Everything is alive. Everything is in the spirit. Everything is bonded together by one spirit. So even the flowers in heaven, they are connected together with the angels in heaven. So the same spirit in the angels is the same spirit in the flowers. The same spirit in the flowers is the same spirit in the roads people are walking on in heaven. The same spirit in the road is in the same. I mean, it's the same spirit in the atmosphere, the air, the breeze. Yeah, so that is how everything in heaven is so bonded together. So they cannot function outside of each other. It's not possible. Anyone that tries to do that will automatically not exist in heaven again. It's like a system that has been configured to function together. That is the system of heaven. Is a system that has been wired to function together. So because that is the strength. I mean, that is their strength. The people in heaven, their strength is in that unity. Yeah. So an angel cannot be on assignment without the backing of other angels. If an angel is on assignment, the whole of heaven is with that angel. Wherever that angel is sent on a mission, everyone is backing that angel home. Yeah, so the same thing with the church, because we are a figure of heaven on earth. The church is a figure, is a divine representation of heaven on earth. Yeah, so and that is why we will see the greatest powers of God manifest among us when we are united. When we are not united, we will see only fragments of the powers of God being manifested. That's the fact. Our strength is in our unity. Yeah. And our weakness is in our division or disunity. Yeah. You can write it down. You can talk to yourself that my strength is in my unity with other believers. And my weakness is in my disunity with other believers. So until you start believing like this, you will find it difficult to fulfill your calling, and which means even to fulfill your destiny. Yeah, some of us would have gone very far if and met everyone united. Some of us would have gone very far in ministry if, as at now, Christians are united. Yeah, would have achieved a lot. But I believe God is going to unite us for real. Amen. Now, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Let us read it. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Number 10, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Yeah, you can see two are better than one. For if one fall, the other will pull him up. That is how the kingdom of God is designed to function. Yeah. That is how the kingdom of God is designed to function. Yeah, there was a time I was doing some prayers for the church. You know, I intercede a lot. Yeah, God has given me the grace of an intercessor. So there was a time I was praying a lot for the church. So, and it got to a point, the Spirit of God says, now you must unite with other intercessors in the world. So I was like, what does that mean? He said, there are other people in other places in the world that are also doing this same assignment you are doing. So now, you know, the Holy Spirit said, now I want to unite your spirit with their spirit. Yeah, so that what you are praying for now can, you know, can happen. Yeah, so he said, what I'm praying for cannot happen until he connects my spirit with the spirit of other intercessors all over the world. So he said, when our spirits unite, then there's going to be an explosive power of God manifesting in the earth to achieve the answer to the prayer I was praying for. Yeah. So, and I saw him do that, and I felt one of the greatest power of God I've ever felt before. I mean, that I've never felt before. And I knew something happened at that moment. So this shows that our strength is in unity. So I got to a point that I discovered that whatever I do for God now, everything I'm doing for God now, will fail in time if I don't pray for other ministers of God. Yeah, that anything I'm doing in my, you know, in the ministry God has committed in my hands, like all these Bible study classes I'm doing now, or prayer sessions we used to do, all the programs we used to do, I got to a point whereby God showed me that all of these things I'm doing will fail in time. So they might not fail while I'm still alive, but they can fail while I have gone. If I don't pray for other ministers, even ministers that are yet to be born, yeah, I have to pray for them. Otherwise, everything I've done will not make sense. We lose the effectiveness in time. So, yeah, it will fail in time. It might prosper for some time, but it will fail as time goes by. Maybe some years to come, it will fail. If we don't pray for others that will take up their own assignment, yeah. So we have to stop thinking that the church is divided. We really have to stop thinking like that. In fact, I see it as one of the keys to whatever revival we are praying for. Yeah, if you are passionate for a revival in your country or in the churches or in your country, you must destroy the mentality of of a divided church. You must destroy that mentality, or a divided ministry. Yeah, that my own ministry. Yeah, this is my own ministry. And then he is different from another ministry. Yeah, of course, your assignment might be different, but we must work together. Yeah, we must agree together. Now, another scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. It says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Yeah, so meaning that, if let's say three people are together, are united together, if one falls, the two others can restore that one that fell. Just as there is power of two, there is greater power when three people are in agreement. And then there is more power when hundreds are in agreement. Yeah. So the kingdom of darkness is strong against the church because the church have not yet fully acknowledged that we are united. We are not functioning in the unity that we have in Christ. We are not functioning together. That is why it looks like the kingdom of darkness is stronger than us. If we are all working together, there is no kingdom of darkness that can defeat anybody in the church if we all unite together. Now you can ask the question, why is it difficult for Christians and ministers of God to function together in unity? It is the flesh, just like I said when we started the teaching, it is the flesh that is the enemy of unity. So if we all defeat the flesh, we will automatically see that we are united, that we are all united. It will automatically form. Yeah, it will automatically form. It will automatically appear that we are all united. So the enemy of unity is the flesh. So this unity we are talking about is not a social unity, is a spiritual unity. It's not going to be achieved by social conformity, as some men of God are trying to do. Well, I'm not trying to. Of course, I'm not going to be mentioning the names of those men of God. Though some of them are big men of God, they are trying to unite the church socially. They're trying to unite the church with human wisdom. And that cannot work. Yeah, that cannot work. They are trying to create organization where many churches were part of the organization, and then they're trying to make it a secular affair. But that cannot work. They're trying to make it a social affair, but that cannot work. The unity that is in the body of Christ is a spiritual unity, and it cannot be attained by conformity. That like it can't be attained by we trying to conform conform with each other, like we're trying to merge with each other, just in a carnal way, or I don't know the English I can use, like we're trying to socialize, or we are trying to form a kind of a communist organization. Yeah, it cannot work like that. It can't work. People have tried that in the past and it failed. So the unity we are talking about here is not going to be attained by every church coming together to form an organization. Of course, that is, a part of it. Like Christians can come together to form organization, to form a fellowship, to form a body, like we can have an organization that is that is well known all over the world, and Christians are those who formed that organization. That is not a problem. That is not wrong to do. But that will not solve the problem of division among us. That will not solve the problem. It won't solve the problem of division among us. I mean, if we try to socially, if we try to socially join with each other, it won't solve the problem of division among us. It won't solve the problem. So the only way the problem of division can be solved among Christians is we die into the flesh. That's the only way. Then maybe the other ones about, creating an organization that binds Christians together, that one might now work. So we must die to the flesh. Which will make us to individually get closer to God. The more our flesh dies, the more we get closer to God, and then the more God reveals the unity that binds us together, the more God naturally unites us together. That's why it is the Lord that is the unity. The Lord is the unity. And the more closer we get to the Lord, the more we will be united. Not the more closer we try to understand each other, or the more we try to make each other happy. So it's not about the more we try to please each other, the more we try to conform to each other's standards. That is not how we'll be united. It is the more we conform to the Lord's standard. It is the more we die to self, to the flesh. It is the more we get deeper into God. That is how we will be united. That is the secret of the unity, of achieving unity or attaining unity in the body of Christ. It is by death to self, and by every one of us getting closer to the Lord. It is the Lord that will make the unity a reality. So as everyone gets closer to the Lord, everyone sees each other united with, yeah, everyone sees each other united. Yeah, that is it. So we are going to stop here. We're going to stop here, and we'll continue next Tuesday. I believe everything I have said, you understand. Yeah, but if you need more clarity, you can always ask questions. Yeah, you can always ask on the group. Yeah, if you need more clarity, you can always ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have shown us during the course of this teaching. Thank you for showing us how strong and how powerful you have united us in your kingdom and in yourself. Thank you for showing us how to function in this unity. Thank you for showing us that it is not by social conformity, it is not by human wisdom, but it is by your Holy Spirit. It is by we fellowshipping with your Spirit, dying to self, and you will reveal the unity as we do this. Thank you for making us to see this. We also thank you for showing us that our failures means, thank you for showing us that the failure of one is the failure of all, and the success of one is the success of all. And we also thank you for letting us realize that we must work together, and that is how we will be powerful against darkness. Thank you for showing us that our strength is in our fellowship together in love and in unity. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the grace for us to do all these things you have shown us, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Every spirit that is producing and promoting self-centeredness, competition, pride, every spirit that is against unity among ourselves as Christians and fellowship with ourselves as Christians, we ask, oh God, that you release your fire and anger upon such spirit. Let them be utterly destroyed in Jesus' name. Every spirit walking in the hearts of anyone here that is causing hatred, envy, bitterness with other believers, I bind such spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the spirit of love that produces real unity shall begin to function in your life henceforth. That such spirit shall begin to rule over your life, over your emotions, over your feelings in Jesus' name. You shall begin to desire real fellowship with one another in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you have answered these prayers. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we are stopping here. Remain enlightened in Jesus' name.